Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Freeborn. I am your host, Ashley Griffith.
And I'm Clinton.
This is episode one. Welcome. We're so excited that you're here. The word freeborn means born into freedom. So if you are a son or a daughter of God, then you have been born into freedom. But what does that look like? How do you live that out practically?
Right.
I've come to realize that I don't even know what that fully means. And so I've gone to God about this, and he's given me so many insights, and the word has just opened up to me in the topic of freedom. And so this is something he has asked me to share with you. And so that is the whole purpose of this podcast, is to dive into biblical freedom and all it opens to us and all Jesus made available to us through his death on the cross.
There you go.
So
she said it first.
For the 20 of you that follow me on Instagram and Facebook, it's a little more than that, but I don't have a huge following yet. But those of you who are paying attention, I did post, I don't know, a couple weeks ago that I was going to be starting a YouTube channel and podcast. And that was just a way for me to be accountable. Like, I knew God was telling me to do this. I am not particularly looking for a platform or to be in front of any cameras, but I knew he was asking me to start a podcast, start a YouTube channel. And me posting on The Freeborn on Instagram and Facebook that I was starting one was a way that I could show him that I said yes, I heard his voice, and I want to do this. I want to follow him in this. But it's also a way to be accountable to those of you who are paying attention and following me. Yeah. So if you watched that reel, I was kind of grabbing a bunch of odds and ends around the house to kind of create a makeshift studio.
Yeah.
Pretty amateur. But it's all I had. It was my very simple yes. And not long after that, I actually had a close family member and a very close friend sort of tithe to me. They gave me money. They said, I believe in what you're doing, and we want to build it with you. We want to support it. We want to lay kind of foundational bricks in this because we think God's on it and God's on you.
It was humbling, for sure. It was a shock.
Yeah.
The concept of, that's something we can go into later, obviously, with the concept of tithing. Fully support tithing to churches. If you're going to a church, you should definitely tithe. But the concept of also, we call it giving, really.
Right.
I mean, we say, oh, we're giving, but, you know, being introduced to the idea of part of your tithe going towards ministries and
people you believe in.
Right, that have a ministry or trying to do something for God. So
yeah. That's what they were doing. They were sowing in, and it did humble me, and it made me feel like, this was important, but also like, well, now we kind of have something to use to make it better. So soon after that, I did two episodes in my basement, my makeshift studio by myself. I had banished my family from the house.
Banished is a light word. No. She definitely, it was just,
we have three young daughters. So I had Clinton take them somewhere so that I could do these recordings. So of course, in the back of my head, I'm thinking about like, I hope he's doing okay. I hope they're treating him right. I hope they don't come back.
We're having a great time.
Yeah, but I'm worried because I'm a mom.
I did. She's filming these episodes. I did come. I was gone for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
It was 45 minutes.
That's not true.
It was. And he comes inside, okay. And
I'm lightly walking in the door to grab utensils for the children to eat outside because I could tell she wasn't done. But
it sounded like the floor was going to fall through. It was very creaky. Then, of course,
that's a fat joke, or we have to work on our supports of our home. Not sure which one.
All that to say is it threw me off my concentration to hear that he's not only home, but trying to keep the kids outside. but also sneaking in upstairs. Anyway, it was unsustainable as a model to do weekly podcasts by banishing my family from the house. And then I just realized as I was monologuing to a camera how unnatural and awkward it felt and how much I preferred to have a conversation with somebody. So I invited my husband to co-host with me, and he said yes. I'm thrilled because he's really one of my favorite people and we have great conversations with one another. I think we approach our conversations. Well, this is the way you've said it. Go ahead. How we don't discuss in order to tear each other down, but to improve each other's arguments, basically.
I heard, just reading and, you know, post here and there, someone was talking about, when you're conversing with someone that you love, specifically a spouse, you never get in an argument or discussion to prove them wrong, to tear them down. That's not your goal in that discussion. It shouldn't be your goal, because you're belittling the number one person in your life and making them feel dumb, look dumb, and knocking them down a peg. And it's like, that's the opposite of what you should be doing to your spouse. You should be
building them up.
Building them up and
making them better.
Ashley does get frustrated every once in a while because I'm devil's advocate, maybe more often than I should be. Sometimes I probably should just shut up and listen. But
now he has to, because he's my co-host. So he has to listen to me at least for an hour every week. This is great.
Wait a second, an hour? No.
I don't think these will be 15
minutes.
Right.
No. No, but it's you should always have a discussion to play devil's advocate to strengthen the opinion of your spouse.
But the point is that we're both pretty dedicated to making each other better and to see different sides. And that's the beauty also of male and female dynamic.
For sure.
So all that to say, this was why I invited him first to be my co-host, and
she's my best friend.
Yeah. And he said yes, but then everything Clinton gets involved in, he then upgrades, like he makes it better. So as you can see, we're in a proper studio. I mean, this is our basement, but there's lighting, there's mics, there's a camera, there's a soundboard, and that's all you. And I just kind of watched you throw this together like, well, I wasn't going to do all this, but I love it. And it works, and it's good.
Yeah, I think it, I want to thank my dad for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a Griffith trait for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it from my dad.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Freeborn, to be fully honest, transparency, I'm walking this path with you, anyone that's going to be watching and listening, because Ashley is really the intellectual here. She's the book smart one. She's the reader. She's the studier.
The thinker.
I'm the task person. I'm the doer. I'm the one that can buy all this equipment, plug it all in, and make it all work together and make it all look great. And I can think through that stuff. But I'm not the person that sit down and I just read this 500-page book this weekend and I analyzed, you know, the history since 1200 BC. And no, it's just not my personality.
But the other thing is that I'm also new to this journey and it's both like fascinating, but also I want to invite you along with it as we unpack it, because I am by no means an expert.
And you can be wrong.
And I can be wrong.
No one likes to be wrong.
No,
but you can be.
But one of the things I say is that I don't want to be right. I want to be accurate.
Right.
And so my whole goal is to just kind of take off the lenses of preconception, lenses of, you know,
tradition.
Not that I want to disrespect or disregard, but I also just want to, I want the scriptures to speak for themselves.
Right.
Especially in the day and age in which we live, we need the word to be manna for today. We can't have the manna from yesterday because that has maggots in it. That's scriptural.
Right.
The manna we've been feasting on has gotten a little stale. Mm. And we just need fresh manna. The topic of biblical freedom feels like fresh manna to me. I have not heard a lot of this spoken of at all anywhere, which is both exciting, but also I admit new territory. So at the outset, I want to invite you to contact us at thefreeborn8@gmail.com with topic ideas or questions, absolutely, feedback. Also, you can comment on the different platforms you watch this.
Yeah, yeah. Message Ashley on Instagram, Facebook with questions, topics. Not to say we're experts in going to answer them. We want to talk about them.
Here's the deal. Like, it's constructive to discuss. It's counterproductive, absolutely, to debate. I'm not looking to win arguments. I'm right. looking to just come closer to the truth. And scripture says we have the mind of Christ, not just one person, not just one denomination, but we collectively as the body. And so I want this to be an open discussion and not a debate. There's no winners or losers. We all win when we all unpack the truth more accurately.
Right.
With the leading of the Spirit of Truth, who is the Holy Spirit, who we all have indwelling within us. So
that's good. So let's start.
I get the word, yeah, just so everyone knows, I get the word freeborn from Galatians 5:1 and John 8:36, I believe, 35 or 36. Mm-hmm. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom, Jesus Christ has set us free." So he set us free for freedom. To me, that word freedom is an umbrella of everything, including like salvation, healing, deliverance. The topic of today's podcast, adventure, it all is under the umbrella of freedom. That's why he died. That's why he set us free for freedom. And then John 8:36 says, "If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." So those words "free" in those verses in the Greek is eleutheros, which means freeborn, one who is born into freedom. So that's where I got this word. And I love it.
Well,
if you are a son or daughter of God, you've been born again into freedom. So what does that mean? And it's truly beautiful. It's just a wide open playing field of possibility. And today's topic, adventure.
So you said that twice now. So
yeah.
Today's topic
is adventuring with God. Okay. That's the context in which I want to have this conversation. I want to reframe how we look at serving God.
Or having a relationship with him.
You know? Or how to be in a relationship with him. Right. I don't even like the term right now, serving him, because it's too...
Well, it's servitude.
He's not inviting us into servitude. Yeah,
he mentions bride so many times in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's relationship. So many times the Bible correlates marriage and spouse and husband and wife, all of this in the relationship with Jesus. And when we talk about our earthly marriages to one another, we're talking about, oh, it's like, it's an adventure. You go on a honeymoon, you do this. It's so exciting. You
experience
start a family. You do these new things together, right?
And it's fun and exciting. But I think the world's view of being a Christian, and one that we have not debunked at all. Actually, we have allowed the world to define it, and we have taken it on, is just, well, Christians have the reputation of not being allowed to do anything.
Like the restraint of Christianity.
Yeah, like when I'm done being wild and crazy with my life, then I'll think about it. And so you have this trend where if kids they grow up in church,
right,
the moment they leave and they go hog wild. And then when they start having their own kids, that's when they come back. And so we have this opinion or this misconception or reputation of, as Christians, we can't have any fun. This is when your life stops. When you're done with the thrills and you're done with the adventure, then come back to God for that calm, peaceful, uneventful life. And I'm saying that is not borne up in scripture. Right. And I want to reframe it because one of my other passions is young adults. I have a heart for young adults. And I think historically the church hasn't known how to handle young adults, how to deal with them.
There's been many people that have handled them well. You know, we're not saying the church as in all the,
I'm saying big C church, not little C church. I mean, I think there are churches out there that do well, but big C church, the millennial generation across the board has walked away from God. And now Gen Z is considered atheist. So the church, big C church, is not doing great with young people. And I think it's because we are framing, we are allowing ourselves to be framed as Christians, as just all the things you can't do and all the fun you can't have. And that's just not borne up in scripture.
It is not true.
I'm on Instagram and Facebook under the tag, making the most of your 20s. I personally believe your 20s is the most pivotal decade of your life. Pivotal meaning how you do during your 20s kind of determines the trajectory that your life goes. And I believe there's a high premium in the spirit realm on that decade.
Right.
And that is why there are so many enticements and traps and allurements away and into addiction,
time wasting,
debt,
illegitimate
sex, drugs. I mean, if you go to a college campus during welcome week,
it's promoted.
It's just all there. Yeah. Like, what vice do you want to dive into? We will supply it, because the enemy knows that if he can capture you in young adulthood, he kind of has you. Your life trajectory is in some senses determined by the choices you make in your 20s. And so what I'm tired personally of seeing is a bunch of 30 and 40 year olds coming crawling back to God, burdened with shame and regret and guilt and addiction and illegitimate children, and having to do a bunch of
complicated lives
and having to do a bunch of inner healing and all sorts of stuff to recover from a squandered 20s decade. My thing is like, I think the devil attacks that decade so strongly because he knows if God gets a hold of you in that decade and he exposes you or he introduces you to the adventure of following him, nothing is going to detract or distract you from a relationship with God. Once you experience the thrill and adventure of walking with him in your destiny, in who he created you to be and what he created you to do. And
that's good.
The reason why the thrills of the world are so captivating is because the church, unfortunately, has failed to demonstrate how captivating God, following God, actually is.
Right.
We have not given the world or young people a sufficient or an adequate alternative. And I just think we can do better. So that kind of falls under the umbrella of freeborn. You can't follow God the way he designed you to, unless you understand biblical freedom. You have to be untethered from the demands of the earthly realm. You have to be untethered from the demands of man and tradition in order to follow God.
Right.
And a lot of us feel like we're doing something wrong when we do kind of turn our eyes away from often very good things or good people and say, but God said to do this. A lot of us feel guilt for doing that, but it's because I believe we all collectively don't understand the call that God places on the lives of his children. And if we all did understand that, first of all, I think the world would be a completely different place.
Yeah.
I look at the world and the state that it's in, and I don't blame government. I blame us Christians personally. I blame myself because Jesus gave the world to his sons and daughters to steward.
Steward, yep. Take care of.
You know, he said in Luke through a parable, occupy till I come. Like, take care of this place until I come back. Mm-hmm. Establish heaven on earth. And the world isn't looking like heaven on earth. And it's truly the church's responsibility. So right now I look at the world and the church is not doing its job. And no president is going to fix it.
Right. Right.
The church has to fix it.
Well, the church can't fix it until the church fixes itself.
And we are the church.
And we are the church, and so we must fix ourselves.
I felt personally pretty powerless when I saw the issues in the world and with people. I felt pretty powerless. God, what can I possibly do? And that was just a part of the story of what he's done in my life, especially in the last couple of years, three, four years. Honestly, it all started during COVID. And so he started talking to me about freedom. He said to me that legalism is a cancer in his body and that we're at stage four. And so this platform, this podcast is really a response to the legalistic approach we have with God, as well as a compassion and an understanding that our legalistic approach is born out of a desire to serve God well. I think he understands that, but he wants us to upgrade into spiritual intelligence. He wants us to actually do it the way he designed it.
Right.
And that's just what I want to dive into. I personally feel like, Clinton, you and I have embarked on an adventure of sorts.
Yeah.
We've experienced a lot of change in the last few years. We're in a Genesis 12 moment.
I don't know what that means, Ashley.
Well, Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1, God said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And okay. I knew that this was the direction God wanted me to go on this very first episode, because two different sources, completely unrelated, talked about this particular Bible verse in the last couple of weeks and kind of dove into the Hebrew of what the Lord said in Genesis 12:1 when it said go, that go from your country and your kindred and your father's house.
Right.
Basically, he was telling Abraham, leave everything you know and go where I'm going to show you. I follow an account on Instagram called Reluctant Watchman. So I definitely want to cite my sources. and they kind of broke down the Hebrew of the word go, and it means go to yourself. It implies you cannot stay on here. This place has expired. It means who you truly are, your wholeness, your destiny can only be found in the place that God will show you. The implication is you can't stay here. You've outgrown this place, or this place has expired. And the fulfillment of your destiny is in the future. It's in not in this place. It's not in anything you've ever known. It's out there. But he didn't give them the destination, but he did declare their destiny. And the destiny was that they would be a blessing. Actually, I need to pull that up. The destiny was, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So the destiny was declared. The destination was not. And so all they had to follow was this voice, this God. And we really are in that place. We have left the familiar.
Right.
You know, the call of God is always out. If you go to John 10:3, he says, the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and he leads them out.
Right.
Out from where? Well, if you go to John 10:1 or 2, it's out of the sheepfold. And the sheepfold is that enclosed space around the house, basically. Back then, it was like this enclosed space next to the house. And so Jesus, as the shepherd, always leads his sheep out of the fold. Where?
Right.
Well, if you go to Psalm 23, the famous psalm about the Lord is my shepherd, the promise is that he leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads you in right paths. So he leads you out of the fold on paths of righteousness to your destiny, right? And the call is always out of the familiar, out of the normal, out of the comfortable, out of everything you've always known, it's always out. He did that. It's the model. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, your concept of adventuring with God, if true adventures are never comfortable. I mean, immediately I think of a trip I have coming up soon with some good friends. My statement is, you'll love the boundary waters in northern Minnesota if you're comfortable with being uncomfortable.
There you go. I love it.
If you're and I think of Lewis and Clark, right? You know, oh my gosh, if you ever get a chance, don't just watch a documentary. You really should read some. If I'm telling you to read, you got to read it, because I don't read very often.
It's true.
The Lewis and Clark, you know, their notebooks and stuff. You read some of the notes and some of the tragedies that happened and the things they had to endure, dismantling entire wooden boats, pulling all the pieces apart, carrying them across land, mm-hmm. around waterfalls, and then assembling them
adventure
back together.
Adventure is messy.
It's messy. It's inconvenient. It's
hard.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So what we're actually going to do on this episode is dive into 10 of the elements of fantastic adventure stories. We are wired for adventure, people. Mm. Okay. We just got a family membership to Kings Island.
Oh my. It is awesome.
It is awesome. We just rode the Orion roller coaster at Kings Island. It's one of the new roller coasters. It's
been there for, I think, 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
The incline. New for us. All right. The incline's 301 feet up, and then it's like a 90-degree drop, and you get up to 91 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay. This, for me, is such a great illustration of a life of faith. And I don't think this is how it's talked about enough. It is like a roller coaster. So, you know, we actually just had your mom here today, and we showed her the YouTube video of the actual coaster. And she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, as soon as she saw it go over the edge and go straight down, she was like, nope.
Nope, absolutely not. And obviously, we have friends that will not step foot on a roller coaster because... Right. It's true. You look at a roller coaster and you're like, you have to be a little bit crazy to want to get on this thing. Like, you are taking your life into your hands. But the thrill on the other side of the fear, there's nothing like the euphoria of going that fast, looping and dropping and helixing.
Right. And we... Just the awe when I turned to Ashley after the ride. And
you're like shaking with adrenaline.
You have water coming out of your eyes, your cotton mouth. And some people were like, that seems massive. You might have been bitten by a rattlesnake, you know. But no, we did a roller coaster ride, and it was exhilarating.
Absolutely thrilling. And my opinion is that this is absolutely what walking with God is like. It is the thrill on the other side of the fear. He is always going to ask you to do what really terrifies you. And it's one of those things that people are like, I would never do that. Or you see other people doing it. It's like, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I had the courage to do that. You know, that's what the life of faith is. It's the unknown. It's what terrifies you. It's really full of ups and downs, valleys and peaks. Yeah. Twists and turns.
Right.
And the fact that so many people love roller coasters and so many people seek thrills like that, in my opinion, we are wired for adventure.
Right.
God made us this way. Adventure movies are very popular. There will always be adventure movies made because we love adventure. But a good adventure, honestly, the lower the low and the more impossible, the better the story. The better the end, the better the victory. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's really, that's the way we've been wired, is we've been wired for adventure. And we need to start looking at God as our fearless captain on the ship rather than this taskmaster or this disgruntled dad or father who just can never be pleased and always just wants us to serve him.
Right.
And that's not what I see in scripture anymore.
Or a judge, like... The mystical person that it'll come back one day and slam the gavel down and be like, all right, that's it. Time's up.
The Red Sea was unnecessary. Parting the Red Sea was unnecessary.
Yeah, it really was.
He didn't have to do that.
No.
But he wanted to shock and awe his chosen people and just elaborately destroy his enemies. He wants to just, through our lives, display his glory and just make us, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. That was only God. Only God could have done that.
Right.
This is so cool. He wants us to approach him with this anticipation of what he's going to do next. And like, you know what? I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good, you know, because he loves fun. Heaven's going to be fun. Heaven's a fun place. Heaven's full of laughter. These are the new lenses I want us to put on.
Right.
I don't want us to look at the Christian walk as drudgery and servitude and all the things I can't do and all the fun I can't have. That is misrepresenting who God is. That's not who he is. And so my hope throughout this podcast is just to help reframe how we look at him. If you look at the disciples, so Abraham, he said to Abraham, leave everything you know and follow me to the place that I will show you. We see this again in the New Testament. That's what he said to the disciples. He just walks up and is like, follow me. And they dropped everything.
Right.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, if someone came up to you, Clinton, and you have a thrive.
You don't even have to finish that statement. No, I would not. Some guy, no.
Yeah.
Wouldn't. Now, I will say this. If I had seen miracles or something like that, but again, these people had families, they had responsibilities. I'd be like, hey, I'm just going to leave and go follow this guy in the wilderness and leave you and the girls here. Yeah. I'll be back. What about the bills? What about this?
They left tradition. They left family expectation. They left occupations. Peter was a businessman.
Right.
He was an entrepreneur. Like, he was successful. If you kind of read between the lines, he had built a business with James and John, I believe. They built a business, a fishing business together. If they had many boats, they were doing well.
Oh, right.
So he left that, right?
Right.
What would compel a businessman, an entrepreneur, to leave what he worked so hard to build with his buddies and follow?
Rough conversations, yeah.
So, but they didn't know where or why, or they just knew him, and that was enough. And that's kind of where we are, is just like, well, we actually don't know where we're going. We have kind of made some big changes in our lives in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. Walked away from some things, but not out of bitterness, not out of anger, not out of offense, but like,
just like
our shepherd said, your time here has expired. Your destiny's out there.
It was more of just like, you woke up.
It's
and
time to
it
go.
Was like, something told me I needed to pack the tent and the backpack and let's just be prepared to walk.
Yeah.
Right. And we're walking right now.
Yeah.
And,
here's the deal. So, I feel that a lot of you are feeling that call.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of you feel the great good shepherd of your soul saying, come out of the normal, come out of everything you've known, come out of the expectation, out of the comfortable. Your destiny is out there. And follow me to it.
Let me say this. If you feel a small, even slightest longing for more of God or a deeper relationship with God, that is not the devil. That is not the devil saying, oh, well, you know, if I can pull them away from where they're at now, or if I can change this in their life by making them feel like they need a close relationship with Jesus, that's not the devil. I can tell you right now. So if you feel that draw,
if you feel a discontent, if you feel like the well has dried up, if you feel...
there's more, I want more.
If you feel, I've kind of outgrown this place. If you feel humdrum, if you feel uninspired, if you feel just like there's got to be more.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, we are in a time where God is planting that in the hearts of his sons and daughters, and he's not going to force you onto an adventure, but it's an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here to encourage you. Look at Abraham, look at the disciples, and maybe even look at us. We said yes, and we didn't know where. We just said yes. And then the next day was like, oh, this is the next step, right? He leads you out and you don't know where, but you know him. So I just want to dive into the 10 aspects just briefly of a good adventure story, because they are also the aspects of a life of faith if you actually look at the faith giants in the Bible. But I'm starting my first episode with this topic of adventuring with God because it's the context in which I want to have this conversation. You can't adventure with God without walking in freedom. You have to have a sense of freedom in order to adventure with God. As a church, Big C Church, we can't continue to do business as usual because it's not working. If you look at the state of the world, the way we are displaying the kingdom, the way we are trying to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth, it's not working. Yeah. We need to, I feel, get back to the original design. So let's just dive into the, I think it's 10 elements of a good adventure story. Number one, good adventure stories are very creative. God wants to do creative things with our lives and through our lives.
Right.
You know, we are made in the image of the Creator, so we all are creative in some way. So he has invented a great story for us. Number two, usually it's about a protagonist embarking on a dangerous journey or quest.
Right.
So danger is a huge element of...
Those are some big words for me, man. No, this is good. I get it.
Danger is a... Protagonist is
I get
the good
it,
guy.
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah, I'm teasing.
We are always the hero of our own story. God has written right. our story so that we are, with him, the hero of our own story. And the path God designs for each of us will always involve a huge amount of risk because you need to have faith to take risk. We've all been given a measure of faith, but we have to exercise our faith.
Right.
And you don't exercise your faith doing things you know how to do well or by doing easy things. Faith takes risk.
Mm.
And your faith gets stronger the more risk you take. Your faith grows and you realize, wow, when I step out, God backs me.
Facts.
A walk of faith is one of action and forward movement, not knowing all the answers, but knowing the shepherd who's leading and being comfortable with uncertainty. That's where the thrill is on the other side of the fear, right? Like on the roller coaster. So the third element, often these adventure stories occur in exotic or remote locations. So I liked this point because, you know, John 10:3 said he leads us out on paths of righteousness. I think God wants to take us places.
Absolutely.
I think that he wants to show us this big, beautiful world he created. He wants to broaden our horizons. He wants to introduce us to other cultures, other places, other people. Good adventures have a broad scope. You're going from the Sahara to New York City to like, you're going all over the place. So I personally think one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul was so influential was because he was so well traveled.
Absolutely. That's.
And he went into culture. He went into culture not as the expert. I think he had a posture of.
Yeah,
I want to learn and I want to build a bridge from partial truth or no truth to the full truth, right? So he was also always looking for ways to connect. And God could trust him to walk into a culture and say, and knew that Paul was going to connect them to him, not say, you're wrong, we're right. No,
right.
He found the beauty in every culture and connected them to the one true God.
I'm having a image in my head of the, you ever been in an airport and you see the hippie that's got the Osprey backpack and the bandana and like dreads. That's him. He's like going in there. Like, hey man. Yeah. Oh, wow. Anyway,
a great adventure story happens in remote, new and exotic places. So I just, the idea, you know, that he wants to take us places.
Absolutely.
Four, the protagonist faces significant challenges and obstacles that test his limits and push him to the breaking point. And I don't think Jesus pulls any punches with us. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Mm. It's It's not a cakewalk.
Right.
There will be trials. There will be hard times. You will encounter situations and seasons that will push you to your breaking point. I'm not going to lie to you and say that your adventure story isn't going to be hard. There will be hard times, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world and I can make all things work out for the good of those who love me and are the called according to his purpose.
Right.
We can trust that he can take the bad and weave that into our story and turn it into something that serves us or promotes us or elevates us. You know,
that's true.
Usually in a good adventure story, the more desperate the situation, the more impossible, the more difficult, the better the ending, really.
Yeah.
It's like the
massive rebound. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the most rewarding adventure stories, but usually it's because the hero has been so far deep in just difficult times.
Right.
Number five, there is usually suspense and high stakes.
Mm.
So good adventure stories thrive on tension and conflict. So again, if you think about the Red Sea, that was high stakes, lots of tension, lots of suspense. Like,
right.
We can't go forward. There's a sea and our enemy is barreling toward us. If they take us back into captivity, it's going to be 10 times worse than it was before.
Right.
Right. So the life of faith, the life of adventure will have high stakes. Like, okay, if I quit my job, I don't have the money to support the family. That's high stakes.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's disciples. We're not telling anyone to quit their job.
I'm just saying when you follow your shepherd out, whatever he's asking you to leave, sometimes there's high stakes involved.
Or
sometimes
a major
there's
investment
suspense.
Into a business, you know.
Yeah, or just walking away from family expectations or...
just relationship.
Relationship,
with, yeah. Relationship with someone.
So a life of faith has high highs and low lows, and there's suspense and there's high stakes. Number six, there's usually a diverse cast of characters, compelling characters that have unique personalities, motivations, backgrounds that add depth to the story. I like this one because I think God wants to surround us with amazing people, especially people that we wouldn't in a million years think we'd ever make friends with.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that when that happens.
Yeah.
You know,
but sometimes you're not going to find these people and you're not going to find value in them until you are out, until you have left the sheepfold.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, never in a million years would I have been friends with you, but man, you're such a gift in my life.
Yeah, so true. I love it.
The cool thing with God is that each cast member also is on their, hopefully, their own adventure, and that you're one of the diverse characters in their story.
In their life. Right.
You know, so, and it's, and then they all teach us something. You know, if you think about an adventure story and there's no, you know, crazy cast of supporting characters that add humor or just their flair, there's something missing.
Right.
And so my encouragement is when you follow God out of the fold, out, there is a whole community he's waiting to introduce you to. And you're going to find such joy and pleasure in this cast of supporting characters in your story.
Right. And those supporting characters actually will help amplify your journey with Christ.
They're on your side.
Right.
They're cheering you on. They know what you carry, and then you're doing the same with them, and they add to your life. You add to their life, and your life gets richer because they're in it.
It gets more entertaining. It's fun adventures. I can list a ton of friends and family members and acquaintances right now that just are supporting roles in my life. That just added entertainment. I can't get Kramer out of my head from Seinfeld. Seinfeld wouldn't be Seinfeld without Kramer, but it's called Seinfeld.
Right.
Right? He's the supporting character.
I like that. Did he also then start his own sitcom?
I don't know. Did he?
I think so. I don't know. Seven, a good adventure story has plot twists and surprises. God cannot be reduced to a formula. He likes to keep us guessing. You know, we can extract patterns from scripture, but he's not going to do the same thing the same way with everybody.
That's a fact.
And sometimes even if you kind of have an idea of what he's going to do, he will never do it the way you expect. he defeated death with death. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
The Jews were expecting a conquering Messiah, and he came as a baby.
Right. An army, revolting army to take down Rome. And right. It's just,
but he actually did something greater and bigger. And on the face of it, it looked like defeat. But he defeated right. death by death. He freed us from the curse of sin by becoming a curse and hanging on a tree. He never does things the way you expect. So there's plot twists, there's surprises. So he'll show us what he wants to do, but he won't show us how he'll do it.
Right.
And I think that's part of the adventure. That's part of the thrill, but it's also how he keeps us close.
Yeah.
This is all about relationship. Number 8, a good adventure book writer engages all the senses with descriptive language. So I just believe God wants to give us an immersive experience. You know,
say that again.
A good adventure book writer. I've been talking about movies up to this point, but a writer right. writes to engage all the senses so that just your imagination's on fire.
Right.
So, you know, God wants us to come alive, right? And we are spiritual creatures. And so I think when I speak of adventure, I'm really speaking of our spirit man coming alive, and we're diving. This is a little bit of what I'm talking about, I think, in 2 episodes, how we are more detached from the physical realm and more clued into the spirit realm, where the real adventure, where the real drama is happening. And right. we start to learn how to use our spiritual gifts and how to activate our spiritual senses. And we're seeing things on a deeper level, flexing those muscles so that you're more discerning of what's going on in the spiritual realm, right? Mm-hmm. And because that's where the true drama is taking place.
Right.
So that's what I think he just wants to give us, a full-bodied experience.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, adventure stories are always moving forward. They're always barreling toward the end. So God's always moving forward. If we ever find ourselves in a holding pattern, there's usually 2 reasons. One, he's walking ahead of us, clearing the path.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture's clear, whether he's talking to Joshua about the promised land or Psalm 23, he always says, I go before you. He's always going ahead of us. And so if we're in a holding pattern, sometimes that's because he has to clear the way in front of us before we can easily walk ahead. Other that's times true. It's because we're not ready for the next steps. We're not ready for the next place he has for us. So we're in a holding pattern so he can develop something inside of us. Mm. But he's always moving forward, right? Number 10. Everything counts in an adventure story. There's no conversation, no dropped hint, no foreshadowing. Nothing is wasted in a good adventure story. There's always clues along the way about the overarching themes, the overarching ideas, what's going to happen in the future. And that's the way God is with us. He's constantly dropping hints. One of the things I say to one of my closest friends is we're on a treasure hunt every day. He's going to say something to confirm your steps, to confirm he's there. It's a little adventure. It's a treasure hunt. And it's so fun yeah. because he speaks your language so well. Number 11, there's always a satisfying resolution to a good adventure story. The ultimate resolution, obviously, is heaven.
Heaven, yeah.
I don't think there is ever a complete resolution to our lives on earth, but I right. do think there are moments of, wow, that was very satisfying. Yeah. That's the end of this chapter, and that was really good, yeah. you know? And finally, adventure stories, number 12, always have bad guys. It's actually not an adventure if there's not opposition, if there's not bad guys.
There's always opposition.
Yeah, but who are the bad guys in our adventure story?
I don't know. Are you asking?
Well, it's not people, is my point.
Well, I can't really name.
So our enemy is anybody. Not people. It's not flesh and blood. That's what scripture says.
Mm, right.
Right. The battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers, with rulers of darkness and dark places or something like right. that. The bad guys in our adventure story, it's not people. It is our spiritual enemy. And that's important. So the adventure that we're in is going to include spiritual warfare, spiritual resistance. We do have a real enemy who does not want us to walk in our identity into our destiny.
Name some bad guys. I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
Well, for me personally, the fear of man was a bad guy in my story.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it was keeping me bound. It was keeping me from feeling confident and courageous to walk in what I knew God was asking me to do.
I think
everyone struggles with that.
Everyone's going to struggle with that at certain. Well, I think everyone struggles with it with certain topics in their life.
Absolutely.
Right. There's certain topics that you couldn't care less about. Mm-hmm. You just
spirit of fear.
I couldn't care less what they think of me about in regards to that. But then there's that one thing that's like,
yeah,
I get it.
Fear and anxiety is a bad guy. And those are spirits, debilitating spirits,
depression or things like
infirmity.
That.
Infirmity, sickness.
Oh, infermo.
These are spirits that we have dominion over.
Right.
We can take dominion and cast these things down and be victorious over them. That can be a part of our story. But we have to realize that bad guys are not the people in our lives. It is the spirit realm creating resistance. Right. A poverty mindset is a bad guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say poverty is a bad guy. There's times of poverty in everyone's life. You know,
I would say poverty mindset.
Poverty mindset.
One that says there's never enough when we serve an abundant God, or I can't do that because I don't have the money. Like, we're doing this. We didn't technically have the money.
I ain't got this money.
But that's not going to stop us because I belong to the kingdom of heaven. Resources abundant.
Right.
I'm expecting a supply because I'm following him and I'm obeying him.
Yeah.
So those are the elements of a good adventure story. And we can see all through scripture, these 12 elements are a part of all the heroes of faith. Like, all the great stories in the Bible have this. So our lives need to demonstrate this.
Unfortunately, a lot of them died horrible deaths in some adventure stories.
They embraced death. But why am I discussing this? Because you need an understanding of biblical freedom and have a sense of freedom in Christ to embark on your own adventure with Jesus as the fearless captain of your ship. A life of faith requires risk and uncertainty.
Yeah.
And I just think we've gotten a little safe. We've gotten a little rigid. And we need to break out of that. So that's the premise on which I want to move forward. Yes, there is obedience. There is that in the faith walk, but it's in the context of adventuring. It's not in the context of drudgery and requirement and servitude. I really think he just wants us to reframe the whole thing. Our relationship with him is one of adventure, treasure mapping and scripture.
That's good.
Tuning our ear to his voice, not being intimidated by the unknown, and just following him. So if you have any feedback, if you have any questions, comments, again, the email address where you can contact us is thefreeborn8@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.